Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the number one online broadcast network for movie talk, this is the Cosplay Coach. Costume breakdowns and tips and tricks to create your own. And now, the coach yourself, Meredith Placco.
And friends! Yay! We're gonna add that one of these days. Hey everyone, are you ready to get furious? Because we're pretty mad up in here. I've been waiting all week to make that. All week, guys. All right, I am Meredith Placco, one of the cosplay coaches that you can find. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at mplacco. And I'm joined, as always,
by Emma Fife, who you can find on Twitter and Instagram at Emma Fife.
And I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
And we have a really awesome guest this week, Andrew Fogel from League of Steam and TYT Networks.
Yeah.
Yay!
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. You were kind of like the foremost Wasteland expert amongst our friends group that was available today. Otherwise, it would be like 20 of us.
Yeah, but we are many.
Yeah, you've done some amazing stuff. I mean, you're part of League of Steam, which is one of like the foremost steampunk groups in web series. You guys recently won an award for costume design.
We did.
That's really awesome. And in your day job, you also work in the media.
Yeah, I'm a producer for the TYT Network for a show called Nerd Alert, which Meredith has been a guest on, a wonderful guest, a couple of different times.
Yeah.
So you can check that out on YouTube at Nerd Alert.
And we can find you on?
You can find me on Twitter at Von Fogel and also Instagram at Baron Von Fogel.
Ooh, fancy. Oh, my butt's vibrating, guys. Uh-oh. It's never any good. All right, well, if you couldn't tell by the crazy set decoration and some of the costume designs, we're discussing Mad Max this week. It's going to be a super fun, rage-filled show. We're going to kind of cover a lot of Max's outfits from the various incarnations, but really touch on Fury Road, which is a super awesome flick that I had the opportunity to go see a couple weeks ago.
So jealous.
I know. And I'm just going to say tomorrow. This, guys, better than Avengers. Just putting it out there. It is a 2-hour solid rock opera, nonstop action, yes. And the plot is perfect. It comes out basically tomorrow. It's Thursday's the new Friday.
Yeah, Thursday is the new Friday.
Everyone needs to go
back
see
back in my day, midnight screening started at midnight.
Yeah. I know. Well, like I mean, to be fair, we are on the West Coast, so we get East Coast.
I mean, I'm going to tell you.
But hey, it means I'm home in bed by midnight.
Exactly.
Also want to thank our sponsor this month, Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con. They're coming to the South Point in June 19th to the 21st. So go check them out and head on over. It looks like some of us are going to be there. I'm pretty stoked to have my girls joining me at the show.
Yay!
And we'll be there. I'll be hosting panels. They'll be hosting panels, fan meetups. There's going to be a lot of really cool things. The original American voice acting cast of Sailor Moon is there. They're going to have, oh my gosh, who else is there? The guy who played Scorpion from the original Mortal Kombat series, John Barrowman from Torchwood and Doctor Who, and also I believe he's been on CW's The Arrow.
He has been on Arrow lately.
So it's going to be a really fun show, and they also have some of the best comic creators around, so I'm really excited to chat with Kevin Eastman, Charles Scholl, and the rest that are going to be there, Rob Liefeld. Come on, it's Deadpool season. So.
Exactly.
But yeah, so head on over to AmazingLasVegasComicCon.com and pick up your tickets. And later on in the show, we're going to announce our winner from last week's contest. And while you're at it, head on over to iTunes and subscribe and like and give us 5 stars. Give us those thumbs up on YouTube. Comment and send in pictures and videos of you in your cosplay, and we'll feature them on the show. And now, going into the world of Mad Max, the post-apocalyptic near future that George Miller created. I mean, he pretty much is the man who started the post-apocalyptic and car chase. Like, he was also responsible for what we know as the iconic car chase.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the kind of post-apocalyptic future we see in a lot of genres nowadays, both as, you know, TV shows, video games, web series, what have you. None of that existed without George Miller's work. Yep. He absolutely invented that.
This is his brainchild and baby, and 30 years later to come back and do Fury Road, which is a script he started 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they hit a lot of production lows trying to get this out there, but it finally, you know, finished production in 2014, and comes out tomorrow, so it's going to be super awesome. Now, the first Mad Max, Maren Kingsford Smith was actually only credited as the wardrobe department, mm-hmm. but was in charge of most of the costuming that we see from that.
Yeah, as far as I could tell from the research I was doing anyway, I was looking really hard, like, who did the costumes for the first movie? Mm-hmm. Because the first movie, you have to bear in mind, had a budget of only $350,000 to $400,000 Australian dollars.
Wow.
The current conversion rate for the Australian dollar to the American dollar is 80 cents.
Ooh.
So that's not even $400,000 American dollars.
So an indie film, all intents and purposes.
Yes.
Yeah, but even with that limited budget, they were able to do some really pretty cool costuming. No, that being said, with the original Mad Max that came out in 79, it was more... It had just happened. You know, the world had just ended. So
yes.
We see the beginning of the breakdown of society. So you still have a lot of like actual not pulled apart costuming, mm-hmm. but actual wardrobe. And it's so funny because even though on the limited budget, they had, everyone was rocking those leather jackets. No, there was only like one leather jacket in place. Most of them were vinyl, which you can kind of get away with back in the day.
Totally, yeah. Because, I mean, you have to remember in the 70s, mm-hmm. movies didn't look as crisp as they do nowadays.
This was at 4K.
Well, I'm sorry. This is long before HD film. So vinyl would read just fine on camera back then.
So you had your hero jacket and your leather, and then just put everyone else in vinyl. Which is great, too, because even the motorcycle jackets that the motorcycle gang wore were based on the same pattern as Max's jackets. So.
Yeah, some of the motorcycle gang... people in Toe Cutter's gang had jackets that were literally the exact same pattern, though some of them were made out of cloth and some of them were made out of like oil skin rather than the dark black vinyl. But like literally they're wearing the same jackets.
Hey, it's super easy if you're a wardrobe and you maybe have two people working and just stitch that right up.
Yep.
But it's great too because we did start to see the use of sports equipment with Toe Cutter's gang. They really we finally get to see like the motorcycle, you know, armor and the football equipment, which kind of is iconic with post-apoc.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. There's a really good shot. It's the next photo down, mm-hmm. Alexis, of Toe Cutter's gang, where you can see that, like, some of them have, like, hockey pads attached, to their arms and, like, elbow pads and sort of the sporting gear that ultimately translated over and we saw quite a lot of in the subsequent film.
Mm-hmm. I heard an interesting piece of trivia about Toe Cutter's gang, actually, which is that rather than flying all of these guys out... from one city to another, mm-hmm. where they were filming, they actually just shipped all the motorcycles and then had them road trip to where they were going to be filming.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so awesome. Yeah, Miller spoke a little bit about that at the press junket, and he kind of said that a lot of those guys were actual, not necessarily actors, that they were bikers, that they just kind of whipped into shape for the film as they drove all across Australia. So it's pretty awesome to think about how the movie really is, I mean, it's the... epitome of post-apocalyptic in so many ways because you just have...
And the American, or in this case, Australian, mm-hmm. the very Western idea of the apocalypse, which is that if there was an energy crisis, it would just be complete societal collapse.
Mm-hmm.
There's no banding together and creating a better future. No, it's anarchy.
It seems more authentic almost, too, especially with that story of them just actually writing out that, you know, it is... kind of what makes the whole Mad Max franchise so awesome is because you think this is more accurate as to what would actually happen,
totally.
But significantly more badass and everyone looks awesome because you have time to do your makeup.
Exactly.
Inexplicably.
Yeah. Or just have some grease paint on your face. It's all you really need. But then heading over to the Road Warrior and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, we actually have costumes by Norma...
Morisseau, I believe is how you probably pronounce that name.
And, her basic claim to fame was bringing in the whole punk rock oriented post-apocalyptic leather biker fetish that we know and love from all wasteland type shoots. You kind of see, and also the Sex Pistols mockumentary, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle, which
she did costumes for.
Super rad. Now, originally, director, writer George Miller and co-writer Terry Hayes, who did the novelization of Mad Max, they were collaborating on a special effects horror film, but Miller decided, hey, you know what? Let's revisit this. I want to come back. I really love this series. I want to put some more time into it. And they were actually given a larger budget.
Yes.
So we got to see a bit more of expanse in the costume design. So much fancier costumes. Max gets a real leather jacket this time. And now we really see the iconic football armor shoulder pads come into place. We even get a leg brace.
Yeah.
Which, I do want to actually real quick thank the Mad Masker, Aubriana, for lending a whole bunch of the props that you see here. This is a typical post-apocalyptic leg brace, very similar to the one that Max wore. And my outfit is actually from the Waterworld wardrobe department. I fit into the little girl's jacket. I'm still built like a 12-year-old, apparently.
It's so great.
It is, but it's really awesome to see how you can reappropriate a lot of these costumes.
One of our viewers, Bill Polahan, says that his cousin is the feral kid from the second Mad Max film, and he's going to send us a photo when he can.
Yes, that
is awesome. We look forward to seeing that.
Thank you, Bill. And one of the cool things, too, is we see a lot more variation in costumes. The gangs were very, like, set. Road Warrior and Thunderdome. Like, you really had, like, you had the Mohawkers, and you had the bikers, and, like, you, like, just the mohair wigs that they did.
Well, and I love to, specifically in Road Warrior, how the sort of good guys, the defenders that are trying to defend their little encampment civilization are all wearing, like, variations on white and cream, and all the bad guys are in black.
Black and red,
it's literal.
It's a literal, but you know, in Fury Road, you see that black and white translation again. Miller doesn't put he doesn't want to make you think too much.
I mean,
And I love this shot right here because we actually see a female road warrior in her white football armor.
Yep. But I kind of like it because it makes me think that they, like, called each other up. And we're like, what are you wearing today? Okay, let's make sure that we coordinate.
It's really true. No, it does feel like that whole encampment was like, all right, guys, we got a plan. We're all going to wear white. That way, like, everyone's going to know
on
we're
Wednesdays,
team.
We wear pink.
We're good. It is. It's like shirts versus skins.
Yeah.
You know? No, and of course we can't talk about Beyond Thunderdome without giving a nod to the woman herself, Tina Turner.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I watched this movie with my father as a child on TV, and I don't know what it was, but I fell in love with her and also Master Blaster, because my dad would carry me around on his shoulders and be like, who runs Modern Town? Master Blaster does.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I had a really cool dad. Thank you, Dad, for making me a nerd. But I don't know. Tina's just, this is fantastic because, if you guys have been reading the internet, there's been some talk about Mad Max Fury Road being a feminist flick, and there are some people out there who are really angry that it's all female. But first off, George Miller's always had really strong, interesting female characters, hence Tina. Mm-hmm. And this is also Fury Road is his movie. It's not like he's just putting Charlize Theron in there and saying, like, oh, okay, it's just going to be female Mad Max now. No, it's he's a great director who doesn't look at the gender divide. You know, I mean, I will say for Fury Road, there's a very obvious take of how women are used in that society, but it's a very believable take. And then the character he has that kind of comes in and fixes all that, takes ownership of it. It's a strong female lead, but it's an amazing female lead, and it's in tune with what he's shown us in the past. So I'm super excited to kind of see the continuation of how he takes female characters.
Alexis, Ryan in the chat wants to know if you've seen Mad Max. She's nodding furiously. Yeah. Alexis loves Mad Max. She brought all kinds
of
stuff.
Alexis is currently wearing a gas mask
for fun.
And goggles on her head.
It's amazing.
Warmer.
Yeah.
It's pretty rational.
She's all decked out.
Now, heading over to Fury Road, this is the biggest budgeted Mad Max film at $150 million. It's more than all the others combined. And this is also the first time in Mad Max costuming history we're actually seeing custom molded pieces rather than the usual assortment of found items. Costumes were done by Jenny Beaven. I love all the female costume designers in this.
Yeah.
This makes me so happy.
They're all women. Yeah. It's great.
She worked on Merchant Ivory film, started her career as a set designer for the London stage, and transitioned into costume design, working as an unpaid designer on a small Merchant Ivory film, The Hullabaloo, over George and Bonnie's pictures. And you found out a really neat little nod to her in a previous costume designer.
Yeah, I was reading an interview with her because she's designed a lot of my favorite movies. the Ang Lee Sense and Sensibility, to name one of them. Yes. Also, Ever After? Come on.
Oh,
every girl
yes.
wants to wear the dress that she wears to the mm-hmm. ball, the dress that Danielle wears to the ball. Amazing. But she, in an interview I was reading with her, it said that one of her favorite all-time great costume designers is Anthony Powell, whose designs we previously discussed on our Hook episode.
That's really nice. I love yeah. all the shared connections
yeah.
there. We're going to do a 2 degree of separation of costume
yes,
designers
perfect.
On this show.
I love
and your
it.
Next challenge is to do a crossover yeah. Mad Max and Chanta and just make
yes.
work.
Yes.
So you get to wear the Danielle dress, but like... epic.
Oh my god. Can you imagine that with like white like studs and
yeah
just
exactly
like the,
it's
yeah.
like where she has the slashing uh-huh. in the bodice where the stuff like the sleeves poof through, it's just like spikes all along the edge.
I would actually really
I
like
would totally
to see
rock that.
That I think we need to make this happen, Emma. Alright, so okay, let's just get to the costumes. So let's yeah. be honest, everyone wants to know, how can you make your own Mad Max costume?
Yes.
So starting with Max, you know, it's pretty simple. Get a leather jacket and yeah. go. It's known as a Brando-style jacket. Large collars and lapels, V-shaped seam across the back of the shoulders, no epaulettes, no snaps on the shoulder, no belt, no melting. It's just pretty easy. You know, you can slash and dag some stuff off and you're good to go. But what's the fun in that? Why stop there?
Exactly, because that's the fun part about these Wastelander costumes yeah. is all of the fun accessories that you get to wear.
And messing them up after you...
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Distressing is the best.
It really is. Yeah, no, we've talked about distressing a little bit here and there. Do you have any tips
yeah,
for us?
So, I mean, the main thing, regardless of what sort of technique you're going to mm-hmm. use, I find is just... think about the logic of what you're distressing and where it's being distressed. Because I've seen people who just give, like, overall distressing head to toe, like, everything looks gross and dirty. And that's not as interesting or plausible as,
right.
like,
mm-hmm.
okay, your elbows are worn through. The, you know, your collar, your cuffs are where the, you know, most of the wear and tear mm-hmm. happen. So I think if you apply that logic, then, you know, whatever technique you're using will look that much better.
Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, there's any number of ways that you can do it. There's, you know, actually destroying the garments in various ways, if you're using rasp or if you're, you know, tying it to the back of a truck and dragging it around or, you know,
yes.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can also use paint to mm-hmm. simulate dirt or mm-hmm. oil or grime, whatever.
No, is it like just you use the cheapest crafter's paint you can find, spray paint? Like, is there a good
I have
or a bad?
Used all sorts of different things. I was a... wardrobe assistant on a movie called Scavengers, which was mm-hmm. done in a very like post-apocalyptic mm-hmm. like outer space kind of style.
Ooh.
It was not great.
But still,
but it's on Hulu if you want to attempt to sit through. But the costuming was really fun because mm-hmm. it was all it, like one of my jobs on it was just like distressing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we used everything between like spray paint and you know, just like acrylic paint that you get from a craft
oh,
store
totally.
Or whatever, or house paint.
Yeah.
You
know.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. As long as there's like pigment in it, you can mm-hmm. work it into
yeah. material. I even worked a bunch of my friends were responsible for the Fallout Nuka Break web series.
Oh,
and
great.
I
yeah.
I went out and I worked background for them a couple days just because mm-hmm. I was like, that'll be fun. I
yeah.
want to dress up in Wasteland costumes and hang out in the desert. And they asked us all to bring our own pants, and we honestly just painted them with tempera paint
yeah.
and then
oh,
it just washes
awesome.
Right out.
Yeah, and bleach is like a super useful
yeah.
tool too, because I love using, well, I can't take any
yeah.
photos, but,
this shirt
yeah.
was a black shirt, and then
oh,
I just
nice.
Sprayed it with watered down bleach in a
yeah.
spray bottle and just let it do its thing.
Dude, dollar spray bottles are your best friend.
Yes.
When I was doing my Borderlands Lilith costume, I had like 6 different spray bottles with all my different colors and concoctions, so I could just like spray and then rub in and
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and gloves. Always gloves.
Yeah.
That's the thing also when like especially when you're working mm-hmm. with fabrics is like going in layers and doing washes
yeah.
of, you know, you can water stuff down and then spray it on and that'll give you like a nice layered effect, so it's not just like, you know, you dipped your leg in paint or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like it builds up over time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
different
I think
textures.
That's a real big key is building it up. Start small, start light, and then add to it because that way it's. You know, once you put the paint on there, you can't really take it off.
Yeah.
So it's better to start small. And yeah, you know, and I was doing my Lara Croft from the latest game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made muddy leggings, like for my pants, I did a more muddy at the bottom and had it splatter more
right.
at the top because mm-hmm. if I'm running through mud, it's not going to be like super around my, you know.
Or just random splashes of mud everywhere. Yeah. It's like you were saying, Alex. It's like there is some rhyme and reason to. I'm so sorry.
It's,
all right.
It's okay.
It's all good.
I apologize, Andrew. I don't know why I said Alex.
Alexis.
There we go. There's so many A's. Andrew, I was going to say that it's like you're saying, like things wear in a natural sort of way. It's not just random. Yes.
And your butt is really important because you'll be sitting a lot. So there's a lot of stress on the butt. I took a lot of attention of detail to my Lara Croft butt.
Yeah. it makes sense too with the layering because even when your actual clothes are being distressed, you're not going to have one instance that everything gets destroyed at once. It's supposed to be a series of kind of small battles. So as you layer, it's like you create your own story for each piece, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. That's such a good way of putting it. I love that. You do create a story. And then also randomly, I'm learning just from watching my boyfriend's wear and tear. He keeps his iPhone 6 Plus in his pocket.
Oh.
And now he has like holes on his pocket. So something, for the modern day wastelander with your iPhone, just know you're going to have two holes in your pocket.
Yeah.
That's actually something that like I've done in costumes before where you think about like, all right, well, this person's got a pocket. Mm-hmm. What does this pocket contain? Because that exact same thing happens. I always get like wear and tear where you can actually see the outline like lighter of where I keep my phone in my pocket every day.
Yeah.
But you can put like a different prop in there, you know.
Yeah.
I've done that with like steampunk stuff where it's like, all right, you probably keep a wrench in your pocket or whatever. So then you put the wrench in and then you can use sandpaper or whatever and distress around it so that you actually get those little like shadows of whatever is you're carrying around.
Yep. That's really awesome.
Yep.
And then, of course, we can't talk about different types of armor without talking about the iconic football armor.
Yes.
Emma, you found a really good...
So there is a website called MadMaxCostumes.com that is 100% dedicated to all the costumes from the Mad Max films. They have amazing information on all of them and a ton of tutorials, as well as, of course, it couldn't be a Mad Max costume site without a tutorial on how to do the football armor.
Yeah. So Andrew brought his... Plane ready to be molded.
Yep.
And then I borrowed from James and Aubriana of the Mad Masker one of their finished pieces.
So cool.
So they have, like, what's great is, so this little piece right here is actually, I've seen this replicated in Furiosa's arm piece on hers.
Yeah.
And they have...
It's also what's on Max's.
That was exactly what I was going to say.
I think it was on Max's. We'll have photos later. They've obviously kind of distressed the leather. They've added this really neat textured, like, leather roping that's been painted. You get some horsehair braids. You have some, like, matted down fur.
That's great.
It's so great.
Yeah, it looks like that was just sprayed.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, it's just so wonderful. And, like, lots of big stitches. I know it might be hard to see here, but, like, something you see in the Fury Road costumes are huge open stitches to, like, kind of pull things together.
Because, I mean, Max's jacket is theoretically supposed to be the same jacket he's had across all of the films, and so it's sustained some damage at this point.
Now, when buying... like the football armor, is there, like, you know, you can probably go get like used, you know, I tend to go find
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, if you're doing it strictly for costuming, it doesn't have to really have like the structural integrity as if you were actually like a linebacker.
That is true. It doesn't actually have to protect you,
right? So it's like a lot of times athletes will, you know, use it to the point where it's not really suitable for what they need it for.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can find them at like thrift stores or like a Play It Again Sports kind of place. And it's usually not actually that expensive if it's not in great shape.
Yeah. So I was also going to say, you don't need it to be in great shape. Like, kind of the worse
shape
in, the better.
Exactly.
So. And ladies, we have it easy because we can get youth sizes, and they're usually a lot cheaper. Like, I picked some up at Play It Again for like $30.
Yes. Hey, Meredith, I had a question.
I like you. Oh, yes.
I know you can't really hear me, but I was wondering, since your shoulder piece kind of reminds me, not to get too off topic, but it kind of reminds me of Hiccups.
How to Train Your Dragon.
I don't know. I just thought that maybe instead of you just using it for Mad Max, you can also use it for, like, back in...
Absolutely. I mean, that was the thing with the Mad Max films, is they had a very limited budget, the original ones did, and so they had to get creative with this kind of stuff. I mean, there's no better example, I think, for a starting point for cosplay than the Mad Max films, because that's the thing about cosplay, is it is all about being creative, and it's like, how can I do this complicated thing that's supposed to be metal or real leather for less money than those things would cost me.
And let me tell you, if you guys are trying to do a metal look and you have plastics, chrome spray paint is like
amazing.
Rust-Oleum's chrome spray paint is my go-to. And then Rub and Buff, if you want to add some stuff. Like, that is just, like, I don't really like Krylon's chrome. Not as good. I'm a Rust-Oleum girl.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. But there's a lot of ways that you can go metal, and you can take plastic, or you can take other metal pieces and change the color.
Yeah.
Which I think we've shown before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love with these costumes, too, because they are so distressed. Like, this is actually a Sweet Pea from Sucker Punch that genuinely got messed up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And so then you can repurpose other pieces that you've had that you may not use anymore, because there isn't a set specific guideline that it has to follow.
Yeah. And it's, well, and that's, and so, you know, a lot of people here, especially out in Southern California, but they travel from all over the world, is they come to Wasteland Weekends, which, if you guys haven't heard of Wasteland Weekends, I'm super excited because I'm going for the first time this year, but it is, Mad Max heaven. I mean, you can tell us about it.
So it's a 4-day, festival out in the middle of the California desert, where you camp out, and people bring out their crazy, like, Mad Max replica vehicles and their inspired, like, wasteland post-apocalyptic vehicles that they've created. And the pretty much the main rule there is that whenever you're, if you're at the event, you have to be dressed in costume the entire time. They do not give exceptions. You can't just walk around in shorts and a t-shirt or whatever if you don't feel like getting dressed up, because the intention is to create this immersive experience.
Yeah.
Like, the world really did end and all these people came together out in the desert. Like, what would that be like?
That's so
and
cool.
Of course there are rules as far as, like, you can't bring actual weapons and all that. So it's not chaos. Yeah. But it's so funny to me because it's an amazing community. It's just like a great, friendly, welcoming community of people. Everybody looks so scary because, like, you know, you've got all these people with, like, shaved heads, giant spikes and all of this. And then they just, you know, they're like, hey, welcome. Hey, you want some food? Yeah, come on.
Like, totally.
Well, like, it was funny. James and Aubriana were showing me pictures of the Lord Humongous who's out there and how he performed a wedding ceremony and how he's, like, the nicest
dude.
That's
so awesome.
Like, he's just, like, the coolest dude.
Yeah.
Huge, and terrifying, like, man. Yeah. And a hockey
man. And he's just like, no, I'm sweet, man. And they have, like, I know last year my friend Jessie Thaxton, who runs Meliconic Designs, she did the fashion show. And she also had, like, you can go and buy, but you can also, what's cool is trade and barter out there.
Yeah.
So it's so funny how tiny my little world is. Jessie, who lives in Dallas, came out here and ended up, James and Aubriana had to go travel on a scavenger hunt to barter for something to get these costume pieces from my friend that they had no idea we're all
That's
connected.
Awesome.
So
That's
it's
awesome.
Just, I just love how that community is so, it brings people together.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorites.
Michael in the chat had a really good question, which was, any recommendations for metal looking spikes that are not metal, something safe for cons and cosplay?
Well, you know, when we talked about this with, like, the Marjorie Tyrell wedding dress, you can get, plastic, spikes or plastic shaped spikes, especially on Etsy, or teardrop shaped spikes, and you can spray paint them or use Rub and Buff, I think might be your best.
Yeah. Especially if you're looking to make, like, little spikes.
Yeah.
If you were trying to make something bigger,
you probably have to cast it yourself.
Yeah. Or even just make it out of, like, Model Magic and just buff it down a little and then spray paint it.
But yeah, if you want to do a whole lot of them, just, you know, cast one out, make a clay, like a clay mold and cast it. You can even get, like, even just go to your local, Michaels. It's not the best casting stuff, but they do have, like,
they do have little kits,
though. Yeah, they have little kits for it, and then you can just pour it and cast it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for movies, like, you know, stunt armor or something like that, if it had spikes, it would probably, they'd be casting it out of foam or rubber or something like that. I would also recommend looking into, like, LARPing supplies.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good
because
idea.
Because that might be the kind of item that they would have. Because LARPing always has regulations about, like, not
that's
actually
kind of
having anything that can hurt anybody.
I explained Wasteland to one of my friends, and they're like, what is it exactly? I'm like, imagine LARPing if you LARPed, like, post-apocalyptic, and also you look like you just walked out of a badass 80s music video.
Yeah.
And they're like, I want to go to that.
Yep.
Who doesn't?
Totally.
Okay, so I want to show real quick some of these photos I took at the press event. We've got Max's costume from the new Fury Road. They're down a little bit. It's 14A, I believe.
Yeah.
There we go.
So that's Max's new piece. That's a full body shot. And we've got the next one over should be a little bit closer. So
cool.
You can see the repeat of the shoulder armor. His jacket is so messed up at this point. And he's, he's kind of got a, and you can see in
the stitching.
Yeah, the stitching. It's so great because it's like obviously over however much time. Now, and by the way, there is some debate as to where this film falls into place. Some are saying it's between 2 and Thunderdome.
Oh.
Some are saying, like, George Miller said, like, it's about 45 years after, but we just kind of accept that he's young. Mutations.
Yeah.
Radioactivity.
Sure.
So hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about timing. But, and there's a close-up of the shoulder piece.
Yeah.
And it's just so great. Now, the other thing that I really loved about this costume, we can show the leather trousers, and you see his
leg brace,
and it's like you see the scarf wrapped around his hands. He had really cool gloves in the movie, but they didn't have them. But what I loved about this is this pitchfork mask that he wears for part of the film, because obviously it's Tom Hardy and he can't act without a mask on. I mean, I will say he doesn't sound like Bane. But this plays, I'm not going to spoil this for anyone, but this plays such an integral role to his character in the first half of the movie, and it's fantastic. And I just love, like, the use of welded found objects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super cool. And what I thought was neat reading about this costume was that they actually loaned out the pieces to the design team.
Oh, my gosh.
So that they could replicate them as closely as... They loaned out Mel Gibson's pieces to the design team. Yeah, the original ones. So that they could replicate them as closely as possible for Tom Hardy.
Like a private collector had them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's amazing.
And then I believe they ended up in Weta's possession, maybe? And then they loaned them out to make sure that the costume was pretty darn accurate.
That's awesome. I mean, the level of authenticity that they stuck with this, I mean, says a lot about how much Miller and his crew believe in this franchise.
Yeah.
Now, heading over to my favorite character, for many reasons, is Furiosa, Charlize Theron. She is a road warrior in every sense of the word. I love her. She also only has one arm, which is fantastic. And if you notice, she took a bold move and decided to be bald in this.
Yeah.
And this was actually her decision.
Bald move, even.
Yeah, I know. Bald move. Goodbye. Just don't quit your day. So at the press event, she was telling us how they had her in a slick back ponytail. And she's like, it's not working. I'm not feeling it. You know, Furiosa wouldn't have this. So she texts Miller in the middle of the night one night. And she's like, I'm going to shave my head. He's like, I don't know about that. No, I'm going to do it. So she had her friend,
a
hairdresser, who's kind of with her all the time. And he like gave her the clippers. And it's like, no, you have to make the first cut. This is symbolic. So she pretty much shaved her own head and sent a picture to George Miller. And he's like, all right, that's it. But it was funny. She let on, the only reason Miller was concerned was he was just kind of concerned with the shape of her head.
I know.
Yes, never know.
Yeah.
And there's so many actresses like Natalie Portman and Demi Moore, and you see, and luckily they look great. But I know if I shaved my head, there's going to be some weird like
bald
head thing sticking out of my head that I didn't know was there.
She just so happened to have like the perfect head for this. And I just thought that was like on her part to say, I'm so dedicated to making this work. Like that's just something I love about, you know, actors and their roles. So this was really great. And then the other big note is that prosthetic arm. She wore the arm during the filming. It seems like she had like a green sleeve to cover it. So, but one of the problems is that the hands didn't have a lot of range of mobility.
Mm.
So she was like having to grab someone, like the crew would have to come and like latch them on to her. So it was, it's a great piece and we got to see it up close. But unfortunately, like it wasn't as functional as I think they wanted.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to articulate a lot in the hand.
Because I read something somewhere that something like 80% of the effects in this film are practical.
Yes.
Which is so unusual for a movie like this nowadays. Normally they would use a lot of CGI, and apparently that was not the case for this film.
Well, and this is, you know, just kind of to do the compare and contrast of Avengers versus this. You know, the opening scene of Avengers drove me nuts because the CG was just so apparent.
It looked like a video game.
And when you see films with practical effects, they hold up, and they hold up over time. You know, they might not be the coolest, but, like, I can still go back and watch the original Star Wars and love it because what they did at the time was so grounded.
Yeah.
And parts of Star Trek.
Yeah.
And
Jurassic
Park.
That's exactly.
And I think, like, this film, to do that, you know, it's going to really hold up, and it does make a huge difference in mm-hmm. this. And also, like, one of the things that Tom Hardy was saying was some of the pickup shots. They have a car fight where they're on pole arms. That was done in a lot here in LA, but so much of what you see was like shot over years, months, like I think it was 9 months in the desert.
Yeah.
Of these actual vehicles and just having to shoot and reshoot from different angles. So.
Yeah. Wired had a great article this week about how they did some of the stunts, the technologies that they developed in order to actually do these stunts practically. It's amazing.
So cool. That's yeah. So awesome. Bill in the chat says it was actually 95% practical. Oh, wow. So yeah. Wow.
And they shot all on Alexis cameras, mm-hmm. which if you're a camera junkie, they're really awesome. Yeah. So they were going to try to only do one single camera, but they had ended up having to bring in mm-hmm. more. Now getting up close and personal with the costume from the press, she's almost a mirror, like a opposite of Max's style, because yeah. you do have some elements of the white. You've got the belts there, yeah. which I think is such a great, instead of having a corset, like, here, let's yeah. just wrap some dirty old belts. And again, if you wanted to recreate this costume at home, just go to the thrift store
and buy a bunch
and
of belts.
Buy a bunch of belts. And something else I loved was the use, especially with Immortan Joe's gang, which she is initially a part of, they all have car hood ornaments that they've turned into belt buckles. So that's what we saw there.
That's great.
Oh, cool. So yeah. the bit that hangs down from her belts is a hood down. Ornament. Oh,
yeah.
That's so cool.
It's their symbol, and it's really cool. And you have a bunch of chains that
that's
hang
great.
Down and some cloth fabric. And then on her shoulder piece, you see a valve, and it's just like a regular, valve.
Yeah.
I think you could probably identify that a bit better than me. Not the best photos. My phone is dying.
It looks to be some kind of just pressure gauge from a hardware store or something.
Glued right in there. And one of the neat things on her prosthetic arm is that there's a wrench built into it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And just a lot of found objects. You see some leather bits and some other plastic bits, rub and buff to make a little bit more metal looking.
Yeah.
But they really, and there's another valve right there, pressure gauge. It was just such
that's
a
great.
Amazing piece of work. And I like the little like chainmail bits
yeah.
that cover her
cool.
like fingertips.
So I love that like 90% of these costumes is mm-hmm. things that you could find at like a hardware store.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
The Salvation Army or whatever.
Well, and I think it's realistic because they're living in a time where new materials aren't necessarily
right.
being produced.
Yeah.
So you have to improvise and work with the materials you have. And I think that is one of the things that really loans itself to the whole Mad Max universe. I mean, it's something we were talking about mm-hmm. last week with Fifth Element is that the costumes are really in that movie just as much a part mm-hmm. of the scenery as the scenery. And mm-hmm. I think the same is true for these films.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have to be. The scenery is the desert, the end.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. And then I got a couple shots. This is Immortan Joe. He's the main bad guy.
Okay.
And that chest piece is something that's like was molded to him. It almost looks vacuum form, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, again, I'm not much of a prop maker. And you see a lot of like elements of cows in there. And you can see the
929. Oh, nice.
But my friend Aubriana pointed out that they look like cow's teeth in a cow bladder that create his rebreather mask.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can imagine just finding some like dead cow out in the middle of the, you know, desert, and he just kind of appropriated it. And this costume specifically is so functional for this character. Again, I don't want to spoil too much, but this is one of those form and function combined to make a really gross, mean-looking mm-hmm. dude. And what's really cool, too, about this is actually played by Hugh Keyes Byrne, who was Toe Cutter.
Yeah.
And the reason they wanted to put him in a mask is that they didn't want a confusion for people to think this was Toe Cutter in any way. But Miller was just like, there is only one man who can play this, and I wanted the original. And I absolutely thought that was a fantastic play on his part. Sorry. No, I have to find all my notes.
Too many pieces
of paper. Too many notes. And then these are the wives. Now that reviews are coming out, I feel okay pointing them out. They are really amazing characters all in their own right. Remember we were talking about color theory?
Yeah.
As the ultimate innocent people in this mm-hmm. film,
yeah.
they're all in white. But also to signify their purity and they're, you know, the fact that they are like brides and wives, but their costumes, they probably have the most comfortable costumes because they're all like in the hot desert, like really flowy. And every one of theirs kind of had a different feel. It played to their own character.
Yeah.
Though my favorite was, was, oh my God, I'm so bad, I'm blanking on her name, Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz. Yeah.
Who's fantastic. Like, a lot of the other girls are models turned actresses, but yeah. Zoe Kravitz really, like, owned it, and
she's awesome.
She's amazing, and, I love these characters so much, and I really am like trying to like get a whole group of us to go and cosplay.
Oh, totally
them.
Do that.
and then this costume coming up is one of the doctor's costumes, and he his little bits and pieces. If we go to the next picture, you can kind of see he's got like all his medical bits in his leather packet, and he has like a bandolier of different torture devices. and we'll see him in the beginning of the film, and just. It's, again, one of those, like, it reminds me of something from Fallout. It reminds me of something from Borderlands. Yep. It's very, like, this is a character, you know what he does by the look of his costume.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this is just one of the other characters that you meet later in the film that I don't want to spoil. So, but her costume is just really cool. So, I was really excited to share those. And then, now we can't talk about Mad Max without addressing the cars. Because... Well, the costumes are
cool. That's what it's all about.
It is really. It's true. It's car porn. Yeah. Let's just be honest. Now, my friend Athena Stamos over at Car Stars, we have a quick little video that we're going to show, and I encourage everyone to go check out their Mad Max Interceptor Car Stars episode, but I'll have Alexis throw to that right now.
This is Athena Stamos, and we're here at Wasteland Weekend for a dystopian episode of Star Cars.
Each year, vehicle.
What do you have to do to turn the Falcon into the last of the V8 Interceptors?
You have to add a lot of parts. The front end has to be changed to the nose cone. Fenders all have to be flared. The roof spoiler has to be added. Then there's the side pipes. I've added the blue light.
So tell us about the supercharger.
Engaged by a switch on the shifter, applies more power. Horsepower is somewhere in the 380 range right now. It's fine.
Yeah, so that's Athena Stamos and Star Cars with the Interceptor. I would definitely go over to their YouTube and check it out because the whole episode is really cool because you got to go drive. Freaking Interceptor. And speaking of, Car and Driver posted some really cool photos from the movie. And we have a picture of the Interceptor right here. This is Mad Max's vehicle throughout all the films.
Yeah.
It's kind of the movie. And then the new big guys, the war rig. This is what Furiosa drives. And it's amazing. It's fantastic.
Wow.
It's outfitted. Like, you can have war boys sitting on the top and back, you know, getting ready to shoot down enemies. It tanks. It doesn't carry gas. It carries something a little different. Hmm. Something a little bit more precious than gas. And then we've got Plymouth Rock, which I love all the, is this the spiky one? Let's see here. Yeah, this is, want to look at this. That's one of the other gangs drives the Plymouth Rock, and it's really fantastic. And then the Mac, which, I mean, it looks like something out of Cars on crack.
It does.
It looks like Mater. Totally.
I was thinking the first one looks like a Transformer, and then it looks like Sonic, and then it looks like Mater.
Yeah.
So it's like inspiration from all of these.
Yes. And then Peacemaker, which... It's,
that's insane.
I know. And to see that guy move on film is fantastic.
That's awesome.
And then the Giga Horse, which I also adore because how many fins can you stick on the back of a car?
That's so great.
So those are just some of the cars that you can expect to see in Mad Max Fury Road. It comes out tomorrow. And we also had a couple fan submissions. I really want to thank my friends Jessica Drew and Raylana Cosplay and their photographer Mike Saffles. They went out to the desert a couple of weeks ago and shot some Mad Max inspired stuff.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, that's this is awesome. Shot right here in Southern California, and we've got some really great pictures that they really did. One second, my Alexis is telling me. One moment, please. I think that's, do we have it? Are we good? Yay. Live show, guys. Live show. We're doing it live. There's Jess and Relena on their awesome car, and they did their costumes and their props.
Good.
And then we've got a couple more from them. Look at that. Like,
I love when the cosplay photos look like production stills.
I know.
And you're just like,
oh, and like Saffles has been killing it too. And Jessica has been doing a lot of art direction lately. And I just like, I've been so inspired by this, their photos lately. So, I mean, look at that. She even did her own mask piece. So mad props to you guys for bringing some of the best Wastelanders to life.
Yeah.
Mad Max props.
Mad Max props. Yeah. So yeah, that's our show. I do want to thank everyone for tuning in, and also I think we have an announcement. A winner?
Oh, yes,
we have a winner.
We have a winner.
Yeah. So last week we gave out 2 tickets to Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con,
yeah,
June 19th through the 21st. And this week's winner is Shayla Valencia.
Yay!
Shayla, you have been great. You've been such a huge supporter of the show. Thank you so much for all of you've done. So give us an email at thecosplaycoach@gmail.com, and we'll make sure you get in the door. We'll add you to the guest list so you can attend all 3 days of Amazing Las Vegas Con. And you can come chill with us.
Yeah.
That'll be super awesome.
Come say hi.
And we've got 2 more tickets to give out this week. We're going to do things a little bit differently. So this week we want you to submit your answer by liking and commenting on both YouTube and or
iTunes.
What was the name of Mad Max's partner in the original Mad Max? So if you like it, comment, and then tweet at us. At the Cosplay Coach, yep, at Popcorn Talk, at M Placco, Alana Jordan, Emma Fife. We'll put you in the drawing to win for next week's prizes.
Yes. So, yeah. You do have to answer the trivia question.
Yeah, you do have to answer the trivia. Yeah, we're making it a little harder this week. But, you know, we have the internet. But
yeah,
don't look up the internet. Watch, if you haven't seen it, watch the original Mad Max,
yeah,
and get the answer.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, like I said, we'll get you 2 tickets to Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con in June. We'll get you in the door, but how you get there is up to you.
Yeah.
All right,
probably in one of those cool cars.
Yeah,
yeah. I wish I could find one of those cool
cars.
How do we
charter one of those cars to show up?
I don't know. You can borrow my bike, though.
Yeah. Yeah, can we talk about this real quick?
Yeah, yeah. So last year was my first year attending Wasteland Weekend, and I knew going into it that the culture there was so much about the vehicles. Mm-hmm. And I love that stuff so much, but I was limited on time and budget and storage and transportation, and so I thought to myself,
so
alright, what is the smallest and cheapest vehicle that I can turn into a Wasteland vehicle? And I came up with the idea of doing a mini bike, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous, and I love how silly it is, but yeah, so I actually got this thing for free on Craigslist.
Oh my god.
Whoa!
But it runs fine.
That's awesome.
So I had no problem like chopping it in half, mm-hmm, and turning it into a little post-apocalyptic mini bike.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah. Now, oh, of course, now that I've gotten that out of my system and I've been to Wasteland Weekend, I'm like, crap, I need a car.
Yeah. It only builds up from here.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming out and talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
So where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, so check out the League of Steam. That's the web series that I direct at leagueofsteam.com. Check out Nerd Alert on the TYT network. Mm-hmm. Follow me on Twitter at Von Fogel and Instagram, Baron Von Fogel.
Rad. And then next week, we'll be back. We're not going to be live next week because these two girls are doing something really awesome that we can't talk about.
Yep.
But we'll pre-record and we're going to be talking Pride and Prejudice.
Yay!
Going from complete wasteland to Dainty Tea Party.
Yeah, you know, but the costume designer for this worked on a Jane Austen film, so it's not that weird of a transition.
I think it'll just be a celebration of Jane Austen next week. But yeah, you can find me on the internet at M Placco.
You can find me on the internet at Emma Fife.
You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
Awesome. And guys, once again, don't forget to subscribe, rate, comment, tell a friend, tweet at us, give us those thumbs up, those likes. And hey, you know what? Send us your videos and your cosplays. Well, even if we're not like in theme, we'll get there and we'll feature you. So just send us emails at thecosplaycoach@gmail.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.